What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. ExpressPros.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's the Hoffman Show. What's up? What's happening on a Monday here in the District of Columbia, the nation's capital, the host of the 2027 NFL Draft. That is right. That is the big announcement earlier today, and we're talking about it with you all day long, including our pal Eric Flack stopping by at 5 p.m., because this is a complicated story in some ways, in that I think this has a massive effect, and in some ways I think this was done in a way to have as big of an effect as possible on the RFK negotiations, which gets real hairy. It gets in the way that D.C.'s government is structured, the power levers that exist in D.C. between the mayor's office, the city council, and the federal government. But then there's also just the, hey, the draft's coming to D.C. in 2027 part of this. And that's where we're going to start today. Because I think my first reaction outside of knowing what it meant on the bigger picture was like, this is pretty cool. The NFL draft in the National Mall is going to be pretty sweet in a lot of ways. But also, as someone who went to the 2023 draft in Detroit, I feel like I need to warn everybody exactly what we are getting ourselves into. So that is where we'll start today, and we'll get your calls on it at 301-230-0980. Also, plenty of talk about the NBA playoffs, including our pal Zach Harper stopping by at 4:30. But Anthony, I want to ask you, coming in blind, as someone who is a huge sports fan, who is probably very excited about this, when you heard the news, like, what's your reaction to, hey, the draft is coming to D.C.?
I mean, I was surprised. To be honest, I thought I was being bamboozled.
It does feel like there's a lot happening. Like, too much is happening at one time. Can y'all, like, can we go a Monday without some major announcement, please? Come on, Goodell. Chill.
Yeah, I didn't know what was going on. And I read it this morning, so that's why I also thought, like, am I being played on or tricked on? And then, you know, after being able to find out that it's actually coming to D.C., I'm like, oh, snap, this could actually be cool. Like, being on the National Mall, having, like, hundreds of thousands of people just scattered along the monument, I think that would be cool.
I think D.C. is about as well equipped to do this as any city in the country in the way that the NFL does it. But let's be really clear about this. This is going to be a pain in the ass for those of us that live here. And I will tell you right now, if you are someone who like Airbnbs your home, book a really nice vacation for that weekend, make a boatload of money and get the hell out of town. Because I went to Detroit for the draft in 2023. That's the Jaden draft, obviously, as if anybody needs reminding, but especially amongst, you know, our Commanders fan heavy audience. Right. But I went to the draft in 2023, and Anthony, did I ever tell the story on the air of like what it was like for me that draft night?
I don't think so.
So they basically shut down the city. So I get in early in the day and I'm able to get dropped off right around the corner from where everything is happening. And I like at that point in the day, cool, fine. Get in, get my, because I was staying out by the airport, which is, you know, it's not quite like if you fly out of Dulles, it's not quite that far, but it's similar in that the Detroit airport is not like in Detroit in the way that like DCA is in DC, right? So I take my Uber in and do my show from the Buffalo Wild Wings setup that we had there, which was sweet. Our parent company, Odyssey, put together a really cool event where it was me and a couple of the other stations of the teams that had the top picks in that draft. We're all in one area. And then we, you know, I went to the media center and like covered the draft in the media center, which, not that anybody listening particularly, I don't know, we have fellow media members that cover the draft. But like if you're a media member who catches this, like, I don't know where the hell they're going to do the media center. Like, what are you going to do? Take up offices in Congress? Like, no. The closest building is like a Smithsonian. So I don't know. I mean, I guess they could just be like, hey, we're going to set up shop in a Smithsonian off the wing of the National Mall. But like, I truly don't know where they'll set up the media center, but they'll figure something out. Maybe they'll do a tent. There'll be, you know, they'll get Wi-Fi and power and, you know, all the stuff, but there's a lot of behind the scenes operating that has to happen for people that are, you know, vendors, people that are putting on the actual draft, the logistics of the television trucks. Like, and again, this is stuff that is not totally new to the folks that run the National Mall because they do presidential inaugurations and there are concerts. Like, this stuff is, you know, not new to this area and that specific location, but just a thing to figure out. But the big thing for me, Anthony, was that night getting out of there while the draft was still happening, if you don't want to stay for all of the picks, was a nightmare. I had to carry my equipment a literal half mile to break the perimeter of where Ubers were allowed to go. Like a literal half mile.
God dang.
Thankfully, my Uber was like, yeah, no, this is as close as I can get. I'll wait on you. But like, it was me and everybody else, and no one else had, you know, fairly significantly heavy radio and video equipment, but I just had to truck it. I was like, good thing I trained, do some farmer's carries. My ass was hauling a Comrex, you know, those big heavy silver boxes, Anthony. You know what I'm talking
about.
Yeah,
I know exactly what you're talking
about. No one else listening knows what I'm talking about, but that wasn't my favorite. My back was killing me. My backpack had all my other stuff in it. It's like a literal half mile because they shut it down. And folks in this city know how that goes. You know, there are events in this city that are quite annoying to those of us that live here that shut this city down. And this will be as big of, like, this is a presidential inauguration. This is a true 1 million people on the National Mall over the course of the weekend. You know, probably 500,000 on Thursday night, and then another 500,000 split between Friday and Saturday for the second and third rounds, and then the day three stuff. But Thursday night for the first round, we're talking 3-day presidential inauguration levels, which also means the week leading up to it and all of that stuff. Metro is going to be like, they will put more trains in, they will do all the stuff that they got to do, but like, it's going to be rough getting around the city. Part of me is like, cool, we'll be able to do the show from there and all that kind of stuff. And it's, you know, hopefully it's not too bad for media to get around, but it's going to be probably easier for me to do that than get to the office on the other side of the mall, than where I live in DC. So it is a massive endeavor for the city. And I'm not joking when I say, if you are someone who lives in the district, and now if you're out in Maryland or out in Virginia, like, you'll be fine. But if you live in the district, or even if you live in Arlington or, you know, a suburb that is very, very close, and you are someone who Airbnbs your house, might not be a bad weekend to do it, because getting the heck out of here and making a whole boatload of money because people are going to be looking for a place to stay. Again, there are worse ways, the worst things you can do. That said, if you are on the opposite end of the spectrum and you're like, I can't imagine leaving, I'm excited the draft is coming to me because I've thought about going, is a very cool event. There is a ton happening. The NFL is better than anyone at making an event feel big. And Anthony, like, you've gone to the Pro Bowl past couple years.
Yeah.
You've gone with Z.
Yep.
They make that thing feel huge. It's an NFL specialty. We will make it feel big. There will be concerts, though it'll be very cool. There will be entertainment events. You know, you're walking around and they've got the sets and you're like, oh crap, there's Rich Eisen in a bubble. There's whatever the ESPN. I mean, in Detroit, ESPN had a triple-decker set because they had the ESPN set, the ABC set, and the McAfee set literally like on top of each other. It was crazy. And so it's going to be chaotic, but it will also be very cool. And that is before you get to the politics side of this. And I don't just mean that they made the announcement in the Oval Office with the president. I mean, there is, I think, an enormous political play here to put immense pressure on DC City Council when it comes to the RFK site. Now, I also know that they've been working on this for a long time. Mayor Bowser has been focused on the 2027 draft for quite a number of years. That before the previous presidential election, before the RFK land was unlocked. So this is not just a, hey, they came up with this in the last week type of deal. But it certainly is fortuitous timing that the NFL has decided the next available draft is going to a place where we need to make some moves. So we can uncover those details next. But Anthony, just on the pure football excitement level, like, you're going to this, right?
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, Chris, I don't mind walking, you know, a mile or two. I think about it in this light. When the Caps had their parade here, guess what? I was walking all day. You just got to, like, mentally prepare yourself to be on, you know, a grind, like, scooter around, walk around.
This city's built for it in a way that Detroit was not. We were walking down, like, major streets that were shut down.
Oh, man.
Yeah, no, DC, especially that part of DC,
yeah,
is meant to be walked around.
Yeah.
Because they don't want a bunch of cars there. So.
Well, yeah, that's what I would be more so preparing myself to do, just mentally preparing myself.
Yeah, I'd be curious, like, if folks who went to the draft in Nashville want to call in or some of the other places. Kansas City is very, very walkable in that downtown area. Detroit, like, there's some areas of Detroit that are fairly walkable. Not where I needed to go on that particular day. But it is, like, we are talking, it's funny because DC, I feel like, is one of the only cities that actually ever does events like this. In many ways, this is a phenomenal choice logistically, because where else do you hold a presidential inauguration size event other than the place where they literally have the presidential inauguration? 301-230-0980 is the phone number. 301-230-0980. The NFL draft is coming to DC. What are your thoughts on that before we talk to Zach Harper at 4:30 on the NBA playoffs?
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and get up to 50% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
It's Hoppin' Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app and streaming live on YouTube at the Team 980. And real quick, just a shout out to everyone on YouTube. We appreciate you listening and really watching. Anthony, I don't know if you saw this. We just hit 5,000 subscribers on YouTube.
I did not see that. That's lit, though.
Yeah, so thanks so much for being a loyal subscriber, if you are. If you're not and you want to be, well, there's plenty of people waiting on you. We are 5K deep. Appreciate everybody for tagging along, and now you're getting even more out of that subscription. Kevin is live daily from 10 to 1, so you get more live programming, more highlights as well. So make sure you check us out on YouTube at the Team 980. 301-230-0980 is the phone number where you can chime in on the Commanders and the city of D.C. getting the 2027 NFL draft. That announcement made in the Oval Office earlier today. Let's go to Tom in Gaithersburg. And Tom's actually, Tom, I've been told that you've been to a couple drafts recently. So as someone, which ones did you go to? And then secondly, what do you think of it coming to D.C.?
So I went to Nashville, which is down on Broadway and looks really good for television. And then I went to Detroit. I think you said you went there as well. Is that correct?
Yes, I did.
Yeah. So I think the one thing that people don't see, and I couldn't tell in Green Bay, is it becomes closed off. So in Detroit, I think it was like right down, I think it's called Woodward, and there's like pretty limited access points. They basically wrap like a fence around it. And there's all these little access points that are, you can get into, you can't get into, you got to have a pass, all that stuff. So I think sometimes it looks really good. It's an incredible fan experience because I think Goodell said, hey, everyone wants the Super Bowl, but not everyone can have the Super Bowl. So this is kind of the second thing now where you get, you know, 750,000 people come through. It's just, I think it's really an amazing experience and I would go again. I would consider going to Pittsburgh. But back to D.C., I think obviously we all know what size the mall is. It'd be interesting to see if they do the same thing where they fence it off and create access points, because that was really logistically a nightmare a little bit in Detroit. I thought they cleaned up Detroit really well. I thought the downtown area looked really, really great. The city was wonderful. I just think and I'm happy to see the DC getting it. It is a lot of people. I had never seen a sea of blue of Detroit Lions jerseys. And obviously you're going to see a lot of burgundy and gold, because it is the host. I think it's great for the city. I'm just curious if they can if they do it logistically in the sense that where it makes it convenient, if you will, for enough people to sort of come and enjoy it and kind of come in and out of it. I don't know if you experienced that when you were either in Detroit or whether other drafts you'd been to.
Yeah, no, Detroit's the only one that I've been to, actually the only one I've been to, period. Depending on what happens a week from today on the NBA draft, lottery. I might be going to New York this year, but that's obviously a much different deal the way the NBA does it than the NFL does. But I think you bring up a great point too, Tom, is that they close this thing off. So it's not like if you live in DC, you'll just be able to walk up on the mall and go to the draft, at least if they did it the way they did in Detroit. And this is something that I am very curious about. Because it is such a significant security event, especially given the location. Like when you get 700,000 people together, Or, you know, let's say it's 300,000 is at a time, 700,000 over the course of the weekend in Detroit, or 800,000, right. I think Goodell said today. Like, it's a significant security event. They're going to have ways to limit access. But I do think that's a great point, and I appreciate the call. We got a bunch of people lined up, Tom, so I'm going to let you run. But I appreciate the call and bringing up the different perspectives here and some good reminders, frankly, from someone who's been to a couple of drafts. Like, if you just think, like, oh, the draft's coming to D.C., I'm just gonna take the Metro down and see what's up, you're going to be on the outside looking in, because they've got to make sure that it's secure. They've got to make sure that there are different ways. And for me, I was in a different boat because I was there as media. Like, I was there working. So I did have access points, and there was a ton of security in the whole deal. But my access point was different than the general public access point. And I don't, frankly, know how the different public access points will work. I don't know, how easy will the metroing be? Like, are you going to have to get off at Gallery Place and walk down? Are they going to shut down? Like, I actually was on the Metro this year on Inauguration Day, and I'm trying to think back, because my wife and I had gone to visit my parents the weekend before, and we flew back on the 20th and then took the Metro back from the airport because there was no freaking way we were going to be able to drive through D.C. because it was Inauguration Day. And they shut down a ton of Metro stations. And if you wanted to get onto the mall, like, they shut down the Metro stations that you want to actually be able to use. So, like, you're still going to have to walk. You're still going to have to do those things. You're not going to be able to park anywhere nearby. This is what happens. But I do think it's, like, D.C. is uniquely equipped, and especially those of us that live here and have been through those types of events, which we go through, you know, an inauguration every 4 years, on top of the other major events that happen on the National Mall, from marches to speeches to this, that, or the other thing. Like, we actually know how to deal with that stuff, and we're very used to it in a way that other major cities are not. Let's go to Todd. Todd, thanks for calling. You're on the Hoffman Show.
Oh, hey, Craig, thanks for taking my call.
You got it.
You know, it's so interesting. So, I went to GW for medical school, so I was used to kind of those big events and things being closed off, you know, when I was there. Then when I left the D.C. area, one of the things I had resigned myself to was, and the reason I thought I wouldn't come back, was because I thought that we wouldn't get events like this. And when I came back home to start my practice, I was like, whoa, maybe, you know, and I see all this stuff happening, like the stadium, and then I see we're getting the NFL draft. I'm like, whoa, maybe we can have some of these things, because I've been in other localities like Houston and New Orleans and all these other places. They always seem to kind of get the first bite of any major sporting event, you know, Super Bowl or whatever, you know. And to see that my hometown, this is home for me, like the DMV. You know, I grew up here. And To know that we can be a part of that group now, that meant a lot to me. It made me even emotional to a certain extent, because I had resigned myself that it wasn't going to happen. But to see it happen, it's just been a wonderful thing to see. And I just, yeah, man, this is really great, man. This is good, interesting times and good times to be a Washington fan.
Yeah, Todd, I appreciate the call, and I think that perspective is really important, because. And this is why, like, I want to be really clear with the statement I'm about to say. I would say this no matter who the president is, no matter what I thought of them, no matter what you think of them. Like, I kind of hate that this was announced in the Oval Office. And the reason I hate that is because people from not D.C. need to understand that this is a real city with real people in it. Yes, there are a ton of folks. And not to say anyone listening, I realize, by as I say that, there's clearly folks listening to us right now that work in the government, that moved here, that have jobs in either directly with the government, some political appointees, some not, that have got jobs that are very government adjacent with a contractor or whoever else. Like, that is a part of this city's fabric for sure. Like, the biggest business in the city is the federal government. But there is also, there are also people that are from here, that are of here, that this is home. Or people like me who moved here for reasons that have nothing to do with the federal government and have been here for, August will be 10 years for me. And this is my home. This is where I hope to start and raise my family. Like, this is home. And, you know, I'll let people like Anthony, who were actually born here, fight over whether I get to call myself a Washingtonian. You and Yates can fight about that. And anyone else who wants to jump in. I don't feel like I get a say. I just stand there and be like, do I get a name tag? No? Anthony says no.
I mean, you live here now. You've done your...
pay taxes and everything.
Yeah, I don't know then, Greg.
Yeah, I know. We'll leave that debate for another. That's a good June topic. Is Greg a Washingtonian? Actually, it's a good August topic because that's how we can celebrate 10 years. Is okay. Like that my is that my badge? Do I get my I'm from DC name tag at 10 years in? But the point is, like, the emotion of it and what I'm actually getting at here is there's a civic pride to the town of DC. And speaking of Yates, he imprinted on this on me early. He's like, there's the city and there's the town. The city is all of the, you know, all of the government buildings and the government adjacent stuff. And like, again, that stuff matters. That stuff's really important in the grand scheme of it. And I think there's also a reality that, you know, if you are the nation's capital, parts of your city belong to everyone. Like, and that just doesn't go for Washington, D.C. and the United States of America. Like, if you are Paris, parts of your city belong to all of France. If you are London, parts of your city belong to all of England. That is the blessing and the curse of being the capital of a country. But there's also just parts of town that are just like any town in, or any big city anywhere else in this country. And the pride that is felt specifically when it comes to the football team is felt so much more by those people. The people who bleed burgundy and gold because they are from here and of here, and their lives, their happiness is impacted by how well this team does. And I think that should be the focus of that. And I hope that while we can get the beautiful shots of the mall and the Capitol and all those things and the construction site of RFK hopefully going full bore in the background on 2027 NFL draft day, that we also get the flavor of DC, the melting pot of cultures, the things that make this city the best of what it is, because this is so much about that as much as it is about an Oval Office announcement about something that's going to happen on the National Mall. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. We're streaming live on YouTube too at the Team 980. When we get back, Zach Harper talks hoops with us here on the Hoffman Show.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through 2 cartons in 1 day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Want to grow your business fast? With TikTok ads, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
If you're a parent or share a fridge with someone, Instacart is about to make grocery shopping so much easier. Because with family carts, you can share a cart with your partner and each add the items you want. Since between the two of you, odds are you'll both remember everything you need. And this way, you'll never have to eat milkless cereal again. So minimize the stress of the weekly shop with family carts. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. We're streaming live on YouTube, too, at the Team 980. And joining us now on the phone, it's our guy Zach Harper from The Athletic. Zach, what's up, dude?
What's going on?
Basking in another glorious D.C. day of news where we get a major announcement about our football team on a Monday when I just really want to talk about the NBA playoffs. So that's our last two Mondays.
Wait, I miss what happened today. I've been trying to unplug as much as I can on Mondays. What's going on?
So they announced today. So last weekend was that they're doing the RFK deal. They're going to try to bring the football team back. And today they announced that the 2027 NFL draft is coming to DC.
Oh, that's I did see that. Yes, I did see that. Yeah. Is that exciting?
So we just talked about this for the first half hour of the show. I think it's mostly exciting. I think that, you know, as large cities that host these types of events go, one the size of, I don't know, a presidential inauguration, this one seems like it's pretty well equipped to host it. I actually do think, unlike a lot of places where it'd be like, oh God, this is going to be a disaster, I think here it actually is.
I watch, you know, the first day of the draft. Like, I'll watch, well, not the first day. I watch the first, like, maybe 10 picks.
Okay.
Depending on like where the 49ers are picking, right? I'll like watch the first 10 picks, and then if the 49ers are like somewhere in like the last half of the draft of the first round, like I'll then tune in for that. But it's long and it's awkward when they bring up everybody else. I don't like it when they bring up like random people to do it. I get it's like for the fans also. I hate it. I think it's so awkward.
I'm not saying that.
And painful.
Yes. No, I do agree. Like, now I'm like, what would be the NBA version of this? You know, last time we talked, Zach, we fixed the NBA draft lottery. Now do we want to break the NBA draft?
I mean, I wouldn't mind. I don't mind breaking it, right? Like, my idea for this is I think the lottery should happen a half hour before the draft. Like, I think, like, you have, you know, the prospects work out for everybody, you know, in the lead up process to the draft. And then a half hour before we have the lottery and then you just have to scramble. To me, that's the best way to do it.
I mean, what better team building, you know, you better be prepared. Yeah. Also, I talked to an NBA executive who's been in the lottery room before. And I was like, why do you like that? Like, or is it torture? And he goes, no, like it is torture because you can't talk to anyone. Like, you're sequestered until the results are public, right? Which obviously, Zach, you know. But for the audience, like, there's two lotteries. There's the TV lottery, which is fake. And there's the real lottery, which happens behind closed doors. And if you're in there, like, you are sequestered, no phones, no nothing until they announce it's the same results, but until they announce the things publicly. But this executive was like, I like being in the room because during that time when I'm sequestered, I plan my first two phone calls the second I'm allowed to be back on my phone.
Oh,
and I was like, good. Oh, yeah. That's strategy. So that person, I can guarantee, hates your idea.
Well, for sure. But I'm not in it to make their lives easier. I'm in it for chaos and to make my job more fun.
And in which case, I think you're an expert in that. You're an expert in chaos.
Negatively affect me, I'm all for it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's really why we're all in this. Okay, so to the basketball. Speaking of chaos and our jobs being fun, the Golden State Warriors got 3 points from Steph Curry in the first half last night. They then won the game by double digits, thanks in large part to the fact that Buddy Hield replaced Steph Curry scoring in the first half. Draymond, who has missed how many triple-doubles by not scoring in double digits, had double digits in the first half of this game. And to me, it kind of spoke to exactly who the Warriors are, a team that will figure out ways to win, and exactly who the Rockets are, which is a team that doesn't know how to do that. What did you make of how that series ended, the Warriors needing seven, but ultimately being able to figure that out?
Yeah, I mean, before the series, I had Warriors in seven, and it never bothered me that they were going to be on the road for a game seven, because it's against Houston. And not that this Houston team isn't good, but one, it's Steph Curry against the Rockets. Like, he always finds a way to torture them. And two, it's just a young team. Like, it's a very young core, and figuring out how to win against these veterans is going to be very tough. They had a great series, but closing that out is really difficult. We saw that, you know, similarly a couple of years ago against, with the Kings against the Warriors in that game seven at home. Like, it's tough to do when it's your first time in there. And so, Buddy Hield has uncharacteristically shot pretty poor from 3-point range this season. And I mean poor for him. Like, I think he was like 37-38%. And usually he's like 42-43%. So him hitting like that isn't surprising. It's a little surprising that it came out of nowhere, you know, based on how he had been playing. And I think the fact that in the latter half of this series, like, his defense was really good. That, you know, there's that clip of Steve Kerr kind of joking, I never thought I'd say this, but, you know, Buddy Hield set the tone defensively. I think that was game five that he said that after the game. And that stepping up, I mean, that just speaks to, you know, where the Warriors tend to be in these postseasons. And I know everyone wanted to joke about them, you know, blowing another 3-1 lead and everything, but this is the Warriors you expect in the postseason. Is that, all right, backs against the wall, they need to have this moment, especially on the road. They usually come up with a game like this. And then if you just leave the door open, Steph is eventually going to just ruin your life.
Right. And of course he did. And that is everything that we anticipated to happen. For this Rockets team, I actually think they're in a fascinating spot, because they were the 2 seed in the West. That's incredible considering this Western Conference. I also don't really know where they go from here. Like, I guess Jalen Green could continue to get better, but I don't know that he's like one of the 7 best guys on the planet ever to lead you to a championship. I don't think Alperen Şengün gets to that level either. And at that point, you got to figure out how to go get one of those guys. Have the Rockets like accidentally hit a ceiling that's too low by hitting on a few draft picks they maybe shouldn't have, making maybe some free agent moves that accelerated their growth almost too fast? Like, where do the Rockets go from here, Zach? Because I think that's actually a pretty fascinating question that they need to really internally tussle with this offseason.
Oh, I disagree on Şengün. I think he's going to get a lot better. Like, I think he's awesome. Like, he's an all NBA player, and he's going to, you know, improve his mid-range and outside shot. He's going to improve his finishing inside. He'll improve his free throw shooting. Like, I think he's got a lot more to grow. Jalen Green is just a wild card. We're actually finding with, like, those G League Ignite guys, they really screwed up those prospects. You look at, like, Kuminga and Jalen Green and, like, a lot of those dudes. Like, they did those guys a huge disservice. I don't know how, but a lot of those guys either take a long time to get going or they just aren't any good at all. And so, you know, I don't know if Jalen Green's ever going to be consistent enough. The athleticism and the talent is there. Everyone just assumes, okay, they'll go trade for Kevin Durant. And it's like, okay, let's say they do. That's 2 seasons of something. Like, that's not really a long-term plan. They have a lot of flexibility. They have a lot of draft picks. They have a lot of young players they can move. There's been, you know, assumptions that they could go after Giannis based on his situation in Milwaukee. To me, you saw a glimpse of what that future looks like with Amen Thompson all of a sudden, like, just getting to the rack, right? Like, all of a sudden he was driving, and everyone's like, oh, if he gets a jumper, I don't think he needs to get a jumper in order to become a star. Like, he just needs to realize that he can get to the rim whenever he wants. He is one of the best defenders in the league already. I think he's got a great ability to play make. Like, he could be one of those elite players. And so if you have that plus Şengün getting better, and then you can go get, you know, a score. Like, they do need scoring. They do need shooting. They can't just have a bunch of athletic guys who can't shoot and just hope to get offensive rebounds all the time. But I would just go out and try to carefully bring in some shooting, bring in some role players. I don't think they need to make these big sweeping changes. I would almost run it back one more year unless that no-brainer trade is there to bring in a guy that absolutely, you know, fixes all those offensive woes for them. But I think that, like, you don't really need to rush it.
Let me throw a name at you. Atlanta calls and says, what do you want for Trey?
Oh, yeah, I think it would be interesting to, like, slide back and be a 42-win team and not have a defender out there and a guy who, like, he can't shoot. What are we doing? He shoots a lot. He shot 34% this year.
That
we got to stop this with Trae Young. He's not, like, he's not that guy.
Fair enough. 34%.
He's a great he's a great distributor. He's a great distributor. Like, one of the best in the league.
He turns
the ball over like crazy. He's a terrible shooter for as much as he shoots and where he shoots. Like, I'm all good on the Trae Young thing.
He is so fascinating because if they need someone who can create shots, he can create them. The going in part is obviously necessary.
Yeah, there are a lot of guys who can create shots. It's like the whole Seinfeld reservation thing. Anyone can make a reservation. You got to hold the reservation. Like, anyone can make a shot in the NBA, create a shot in the NBA. You got to make the damn thing.
Yeah, but him out on the break with their athletes, like, would you be willing to sacrifice some defensively? Sounds like for you, that's a hard no.
No, I'd rather have Fred VanVleet. Give me a shooter.
Oh, I'm not giving up VanVleet for him. Atlanta's like, hey, we need Fred. I'm like, you can buzz off. You can have Dylan Brooks, but I also am like the world's biggest Dylan Brooks hater. So
you and me are right there on Dylan Brooks. Yeah. He can go.
Yeah, no, see ya. Good riddance. Have a great time in Atlanta. Zach Harper from The Athletic is with us here on The Hoffman Show, covering the NBA for them. Podcast form, written form, all of the forms. The other series that kicked off yesterday, or I guess that series obviously wrapped yesterday, series that kicks off yesterday, the Pacers upset the Cavs in game one of that series. Is this a Cleveland team that is actually in trouble? Are they perfectly fine here? Does it totally come down to Darius Garland? Like, how much trouble is Cleveland actually in here after losing game one at home?
I mean, they're in trouble. Like, Indiana's good. Indiana's been great since January 1st. Like, they've been the fourth best team in the league. Since January 1st, Cleveland is 35-14. Indiana's 34-14. Like, they're right there with them. They're, I think, seventh in offense, tied for ninth in defense. They were like sixth in net rating. Like, they've been a great all around team in 2025, and it's not a fluke. Like, they're a team that builds towards the playoffs, and they're better in the playoffs than they are in the regular season. Like, this is a team you have to take seriously. Now, Cleveland can fix a lot of that. I don't think they're going to shoot, 23% or whatever they shot from three. Defensively, they need to be a lot better. I saw a lot of people dismissing Indiana's shooting. Like, oh, they shoot 50% from three in this series. I'm like, well, they keep getting the open looks that they got. They might, because Cleveland just defensively broke down a lot in what they were allowing. And I think they've got to tighten things up. Darius Garland would help a lot, not defensively, but just in generating some offense and generating some good looks and knocking down threes. So if they can get him back on the floor from, what is it, a toe injury, if they can get him back on the floor, it just kind of sets things better in their rotation. But they're going to have to tighten up the defense. I think they'll win game two by a lot. And then they've got to go into Indiana and take at least one of those games. But Cleveland will probably be fine. I would expect this to be 2-2 after four games, but they have to take Indiana seriously. I know a lot of us, myself included, last year was like, yeah, Indiana probably made the conference finals because of injuries. And they probably did. But they took that experience and they built in the second half of this season with that experience, knowing what it's going to take. And this team is dangerous now.
Yeah, the other thing I love about Indiana, like, one, I'm a sucker, having covered Rick Carlisle in Dallas, that I think that dude's brilliant. Not always the most fun to cover. Just ask Tim McVay. Yeah. But if you, like, get to be around him on a regular basis, you're like, oh, you're a basketball genius. This is fun.
Right.
And he's been there. He's had mostly the same group of guys. Like, they play hard. There's just a known identity to them that I really appreciate. And I also can't exactly figure out why everyone hates Tyrese Halliburton, but that dude's confidence is really high. They believe in him. And I almost wonder if there's been a bit of a galvanizing thing around him where it's like, oh, you guys think this guy's overrated? Well, like, watch us just be us. And then you get the results that you've been getting obviously in the playoffs, but also, like you mentioned, in the second half of the regular season.
Yeah, the overrated thing is funny because if you really break it down, and it's kind of a fake thing, right? Like we did this thing at The Athletic, this anonymous players poll, and by we, I mean I had nothing to do with it. I didn't do any work. Part of The Athletic. But we did this thing at The Athletic where we pulled, like, I want to say it was like 158 players, right? So it's about a third of the league. And of those 158 players, I want to say like 90 or 98 players answered the question of who's the most overrated in the league. And he got the most, he had the highest percentage, which was like 14%. So you're talking about like 13 votes, right? You're talking about like 13 votes from the NBA players of answering that question of like, yeah, Tyrese Halliburton. So it's not like this sweeping generalization across the league. Like when you really break it down, it's nothing, but it's a great headline and it's a great galvanizing thing. Like Michael Malone would always do that back when he had a job, would do these things with the Nuggets in which he would take the littlest thing and use it as motivation for them, and it would work. Like, it's all that bulletin board material stuff, and it would work, and even he would admit, like, yeah, I'm stretching this stuff into, you know, just using it for whatever motivation. And I think Rick Carlisle and the Pacers have done this with Halliburton. I do think he's not totally well-liked because I think some players look at him as, like, kind of a front-runner trash-talker. Like, he waits until they're up, and then he starts trash-talking, and players don't like that. But everyone knows he's good. He's got like a 6-to-1 assist to turnover ratio. He shoots like 50, 40, 80. Like, he's awesome. I think just players respect more when a player talks trash when they're behind as much as when they're ahead.
Speaking of someone who will talk trash whenever the hell he pleases, Anthony Edwards and the Minnesota Timberwolves now get the Warriors. There's so many subplots to this series. The Gobert, Draymond stuff, Jimmy going back to Minnesota for the first time. That should be fun. At the end of it, though, like, what's the most important one basketball-wise to the series? Because some of those things could be. Like, if Jimmy loses his mind, that could affect the game, good or bad, for Golden State. If Draymond decides to get thrown out 3 times in a 7-game series, that's probably not great for the Warriors. But I do feel like, you know, there's other ones in terms of who's going to guard Steph, who's going to guard Ant, that might have an actual bigger basketball impact. What to you is the number one thing you're watching basketball-wise in this series?
I think I'm writing about it today for the newsletter tomorrow, but I wonder if the Rockets gave the Timberwolves a blueprint of how to beat the Warriors. Because if you look at the Rockets in that series, even though they lost, that two big lineup of Şengün and Steven Adams, the numbers were like, they were pretty dominant with those two on the floor in that 7-game series. They were like plus 20 per 100 possessions. The offense was really good because they kept getting offensive rebounds and second chance points. And the defense was really good because they just walled off the paint. Well, the Wolves can do something similar with Gobert and Randle. It's not quite the offensive rebounding of Şengün and Adams, but we saw against the Lakers, against their, you know, 6'8 and under roster, what that could look like in that fifth game. I wonder, you know, the difference between Minnesota and Houston is, like, Minnesota's guys who can knock down shots. Like, Anthony Edwards can obviously get hot. Jaden McDaniels can be pretty good offensively. Alexander Walker, Mike Conley, like, Dante DiVincenzo. Like, they have guys that can really consistently knock down shots. And then Randle can, you know, he's playing the best basketball of his career, in my opinion, over the last month and a half. So if that continues, that blueprint might actually really stifle a lot of what Golden State wants to do against them. In terms of, like, who guards Steph, they're going to throw everybody at him. Like, Ant's going to guard him. McDaniel's going to guard him. Alexander Walker's going to guard him. I think they'll bring in this young guy, Jalen Clark, off the bench, who does a really good job of just chasing people around screens. He'll get a few minutes here and there. You know, you don't really guard Steph too much. I think it's going to be about stopping everybody else. But that blueprint, if Minnesota tries to go with just being bigger than the Warriors and seeing if that works, it might.
My question with Minnesota is simply, like, can I trust him? There's been so many moments for Gobert over the years. Ant hasn't had the breakthrough moment yet. It feels very much like yet, but he is. And it's not like he's volatile. He's just, like, he's so confident. You're like, are you going to miss something? Are you going to try to skip a step because you're so confident? Which it looks fine now and could look ridiculous a week from now if they go out and he's dropping 40 a game. I fully realize that. But that's kind of my question, Zach, is, we know what Golden State is. They've got so much pedigree. Do you trust Minnesota?
I mean, he beat KD. He beat Jokic. He just torched Luke and LeBron. I don't know what the breakthrough moment is. what's the breakthrough moment if he hasn't done, he's slaying legends left and right. He just got to get to the finals to have a breakthrough moment. Like, I don't know what more does he need to do.
That's the thing is, like, you know, there's been these moments where they're up, they look like they're the better team, and, you know, last year fall short. And I realize it's early. It's so early in his career. And, you know, guys like Tatum or guys like, I mean, shoot, LeBron, MJ, like, they took years and years and years. And that's really what it is, right? It's not like, hey, is he ever going to get there doubting him? It's just like, in the NBA, you typically have to take it one step at a time. That's what history tells us. And is he ready to take that next step? Or is it going to take till he's 25, 26? Is it taken plenty of other legends of the game? So it's not meant to, as like a insulting type of thing. It's just like, this is kind of how it goes, you know?
Yeah, I mean, he's a guy who is elite on both ends of the floor, who last year, like, got exhausted playing both ends of the floor. Everyone says, well, you got to improve your jumper. And then he went out and was, you know, the seventh
led the league in
NBA history and shot 40% from three because he was like, okay, I guess I got to improve this. Like, I don't, like, if it's just about you have to get to the finals, okay. I just don't know what else, like, he has to do. Like, he has to beat Steph to then have made the leap. I don't know. Like, I would question the rest of it, of that roster. The rest of the roster, yeah, question them. But Ant, like, to me, he's at 23 years old, he's about as stamped as it gets.
Yeah, and I think that's fair too, right? It's everyone else. Is okay, Randall, you've been playing this great. Can you keep it up? Gobert, you've had so many great moments. You've also been played off the floor in God knows how many playoff series. Can you figure it out? Naz Reid, you know, you're a role player. How hot do you get in this? So again, it's do you trust the Wolves, not do you trust Ant? And knowing that, like, typically it does take a few iterations for these superstars to finally break through. But maybe at 23, he's ready to just overcome all of that on his own damn self because he's actually that good at basketball. Last series I'll ask you about real quick on the way out here, Zach Harper from The Athletic, their NBA writer, writes their daily newsletter, The Bounce, which you can check out on The Athletic's website and get sent to your inbox every single day, is the Knicks and Celtics series tonight. With Jrue Holiday out, do the Knicks have a real shot, even though the betting favorites and everything going into the playoffs said the Celtics are going to romp through the Eastern Conference?
You know, Jrue being out definitely helps the Knicks, but everything the Knicks are vulnerable at doing, the Celtics excel at. The Celtics hit 84 threes in their four games against the Knicks this year. 84. Like, that's so many in four games. I mean, they torched them. And, you know, regular season and playoffs are different, right? And the Knicks went into this season with the Karl Anthony Towns trade, with the Mikal Bridges trade, hoping that they had enough firepower and enough versatility to hang with a style like the Celtics. And random nights in the regular season don't necessarily mean anything when you get to the postseason. The Celtics are banged up. They haven't looked the best, but I just don't know if the Knicks want to play that style. To me, it's like you're in 2015, 2016, and you're going into a game with the Warriors and you're like, you know what? Yeah, let's play some pace and space. That sounds like a good idea. Like, I don't think the Knicks really want to do that. And I don't know if they can play another style. So I don't think they're going to get swept necessarily, but I think they need a second gear, a second plan of attack. And historically, Tom Thibodeau doesn't really have that. It's kind of just, we play this way and let's hope it works. Whereas I think the Celtics can kind of change things up a little bit. Now, if their threes aren't falling, we see them struggle quite a bit. I just, at least in the four games we saw this year, man, those threes fell every single time.
Yeah, if they hit those, then, like, yeah, it's curtains. And the other thing, too, about Tibbs teams always is, like, they play so damn hard all the time that when everyone else plays hard, you're like, oh.
Yeah. They, oh, right.
Yeah. It's like, oh, now
that's our level, right?
Yeah. Now, what do we do? Cool. Zach Harper, writer of The Bounce, The Athletic's daily NBA newsletter, also doing podcasts, doing social content. He's everywhere, and we're glad to have him always here on the Hoffman Show. Zach, always appreciate the chat, sir. Thank you.
Anytime. Thank you.
That's Zach Harper with us here on the Hoffman Show. When we get back, we will welcome in our pal. It's just a day for great friends here on the show. Eric Flack, who, of course, is WSA9's chief investigative reporter, he has been anchoring and reporting on the D.C. getting the draft announcement all day. So Flack is going to check in. He's going to do a hit on WSA9 here at the top of the hour. He's going to get off TV, and then he's going to call us. So Flack is next for Not My Beat here on The Hoffman Show.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide. Or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball. The game's official home for games is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
I'm Emma Grade, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Grade, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Grade, an Odyssey podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.